Amen. Well, praise God. I want to congratulate our all the kids of Blaze, Dixie, and all the workers because, you know, they took on a challenge by doing this vacation Bible school. Anybody can do one that's easy, but they chose to take on this one about gaming. And, you know, it's kind of hard when you are around our age and you don't do much and you don't know a whole lot. But I want to tell you something. I want to challenge all you grandparents. I had my grandkids in for this whole past week, and I spent the week with them. And, you know, it is, you have to get in there, and you have to get relevant with them. You have to get, they're not, I mean, you know, I almost fainted. I told my daughter, I said, man, I don't know what to say. You've left me speechless. My grandson has committed sacrilege in our house. And she said, what did he do? And I said, I was watching a John Wayne movie, and he said, who's John Wayne? I said, this is not going to be. You have got to get my 436 videos on John Wayne and take them home and start letting him watch them. But anyway, but I, Papa, went in there, sat down, played Xbox with my grandsons. You know, it was challenging, I'll say that. Except what they didn't know is I had been practicing. And so I threw a few moves on them that they didn't know about. And so anyway, all I'm saying is you got to get relevant. You got to get right there with them. And so, you know, I'm excited about it. Y'all be praying about it. If you can volunteer for those days for Vacation Bible School to come help, get with Dixie on that. You know, you may not be able to do everything, but we need everything. We need people to help in all fields. You may just be a decorator and just be there to help get set up, and you may not be able to be there those days, but that's okay. But maybe you're there to... you know, just help with the refreshments or whatever, you know, but just get with Dixie because it's going to be a blessing. I know we have to invest in our kids. Amen? Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Praise God. Well, get your Bible out this morning.
Yeah.
And if you would go to the book of Luke, chapter 23 this morning. Luke 23. I'm back on my VIP message. You know, y'all, whether you know it or not, if you haven't been keeping up with the series, you know, you can go to SoundCloud. We're on SoundCloud now. Load that app on your phone. You can go back and review all the messages that we've been preaching forever. But SoundCloud, you can go to the waterhole.net. You can find all the, go to the media page. You can come back, see all the messages that were preached. But I can't review for time's sake because it's just too much, but I just want you to know you guys are very important people. Do you know that? You're VIPs, man. You're VIPs in the kingdom of God. You're so important that God sent his only son down here on this earth to die for you. He shed his blood for you so he could have a relationship with you. And you are VIPs. And a lot of times we don't know it. A lot of times we sit in the wrong section. We're not in the VIP section. I tell you, I'm spoiled. I like the VIP section. I got to admit it. I don't want to sit in the nosebleed section. I don't want to go sit up there in the top where they don't even serve popcorn and cotton candy. I want to sit in the VIP section. I like it. It makes me feel special. I just tell everybody that's not in the VIP section, I'm sorry you didn't make it in, but I like it down here. I don't feel bad about being in the VIP section. And I certainly don't feel bad about being in the VIP section of heaven. I love it that my God wants to be with me. I love it that the kingdom of heaven is open to me. I love it that Jesus made a way that we could go boldly into the throne room of grace and talk to our heavenly Father and sit in the VIP section. You guys are VIPs. You're sons and daughters of God. You've been born again. You've been washed in his blood. And now you can walk right into the throne room. Amen? But we got to know what is our rights and our privileges. And that's what this whole series has been about forever. I've been preaching this since January. I've got a few more here, but I just want you to know that there is power that belongs to VIPs. And if you don't use the power, then I tell you, you're going to miss out. And it's nobody's fault but you. Hello? Come on. If the VIP section has something for you that would put you in first class and you sit in coach, that's your fault. You should have gone to first class. You say, well, I'd feel uncomfortable if I was up in first class. I thought about that once. I laughed at a guy one time. We were talking about first class, and he said, yeah, I don't understand it. He said, what do? They load all the first class passengers first, and then they do the poverty march for all of us. We have to walk to the back of the plane. I'm like, well, I never really thought about it like that. But it is kind of that way. You know, you have to go down the poverty march thing. I wish I sat in that seat, you know, while they're drinking their drinks and eating their hot nuts. But if you've ever been in first class, you know, you don't like coach. I've had to fly. I get to fly at times in first class. And then when I had to just fly in coach, I'm like, I'm whiny little kid just sitting in the back, mad because I know right now they're serving them hot cookies and I'm not getting a hot cookie. I had to pay for this meal, you know. I don't like it. Well, listen to me. There's privileges that you have as children of God, but if you don't use them, then I want to tell you something. It's no one's fault but your own, okay? So I've been talking about all these different powers you have, but this morning I want to share one with you that I pray that you'll hear and not just shut off. When I say these words in just a minute, I know some of you are going to want to just take your heart and just snap it in a box and lock it and say, listen to Pastor no more. I pray that doesn't happen, but I know you're going to have the tendency to want to do that. So I ask you, for everybody to say, I'm not going to do that, Pastor. Come on, say it again. Say, I'm not going to do that, Pastor. I'm going to hear what Jesus got to say this morning. Come on, I'm going to say, hear you say it. Then you're guilty, okay? The power that I have that I want to talk to you about this morning as children of God, as VIPs that you have, is the power to forgive. See, I knew that one was going to just get a few. Ooh. Because the bottom line in life, we do not want to forgive. It is not of my Adamic nature that's on the inside of me to want to forgive. I want to get even. Right? Am I in the right crowd? Am I preaching the right group from Texas here this morning? Right? It's not say, oh, I'm so sorry you hurt me. I really, you know, hope things go well with you. That's not normally the way we handle things. And the reason why we don't handle it that way is because we don't really understand the power of forgiveness. We don't understand what Jesus bought for us and paid for us is actually a weapon that we can use to bring us blessings in life and know that our enemies are taken care of. It's actually a weapon. Forgiveness is actually a weapon. Forgiveness is something you pull out of your quiver or your, you know, of your bag full of weapons. Forgiveness is one you pull out with and use as an offensive weapon. It's not a defensive weapon. Now, before I get into this message, I want to clarify a few things, okay? I do not believe in Christians as being doormats. This morning I read about in Mosul, Iraq, where the Christians have backed themselves up into the monastery there in Mosul, and that they decided that that's where they're going to just make their stand and make their fight. And I thought, I wonder how many people I could get loaded up this morning to get on a plane, load your deer rifle up and a couple of boxes of shells, and go over there this morning. Because to me, it's like I just don't believe as Christians, you know, you end up needing to be a doormat. And a lot of people view forgiveness as, well, that means you let the other person win. It isn't about winning and losing this morning, okay? In forgiveness, it's about winning. Listen to me. I don't lose. You say, well, that's arrogant. No, no, no. Listen to me. I don't lose. I'm going to win. No matter what, I'm going to win. Come on, everybody say I'm a winner. I'm a VIP. I'm a son of God. I've been born again. I walk on the streets of gold. I am the king's son. I don't lose. I just have to figure out how my father wants me to apply his principles to my life so I can walk in victory. Nobody's going to win. Nobody's going to take and get advantage of me if I walk in godly principles. Listen to me. I don't lose. You need to get this principle into your heart. I'm not going to lose. Am I going to have obstacles? Yes. Am I going to have fiery darts thrown at me? Yes. Am I going to have to climb some mountains? Yes. Am I going to have to speak to some mountains and tell them to get out of my way? Yes. Am I going to have to rebuke some devils and am I going to have to walk through some problems in life? Yes. But am I going to lose? No, I don't lose. I don't lose. I'm not going to lose. He said, well, I don't know. Then live in your world if you want to. I live in a happy world. Have I had people wrong me? Absolutely. Have I had people, you know, stab me in the back? Absolutely. Have I gone through heartache and pain? Absolutely. But am I going to let it win? No, I'm going to win. I'm going to take it and turn it. I'm going to learn to use the power of forgiveness, and I'm going to walk in victory in this situation, okay? So Jesus said in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, some famous words you know. But when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast his lots. Jesus prayed from the cross. He looked down at the people that he was guilty of nothing. And he looked down at them and he said, "Father, forgive them." And this is real important. Did you catch this? "For they don't know what they do." Or if you'll say it, let me say it my way. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." All right? Everybody say they don't know what they're doing. In order to walk in the power of forgiveness, you have to get to be able to see the big picture. You have to be able to see outside of just your little world and the offense that's come against you. You have to be able to look to the big picture of life and what really is taking place and what really is happening and what really life is all about. And if you understand the big picture, then it helps you to walk through where you are right now. But you got to understand the big picture. The big picture is simply this, that the devil hates your guts and he'll do anything he can to keep you from serving Jesus. Why does he hate you? Because you love Jesus and he hates Jesus. The big picture in life is that you think that things are happening to you for no reason when they are happening to you for a reason. And they're happening to you because the devil wants you to stop serving Jesus. Even if you're just being nice, even if you're just being friendly, not even being the great, evangelist or something, you're just trying to live for God. You're just trying to just keep your faith and just live, for what is in front of you right there. I'm telling you, the devil doesn't want you to do it. He doesn't want God to get any honor. He doesn't want God to get any praise. He doesn't want you to walk in any way that you are going to honor God. And when you do, it makes him mad. And this sounds kind of harsh, but it's the truth. There are people who feed at the feed trough of stupid every day that do not hear the voice of God, that only hear the voice of the enemy. And they feed at the feed trough of stupid every day, and they don't understand what's going on in the world. And they are the mouthpiece of the devil. Y'all want to leave or y'all are just kind of looking at me like I don't have good sense. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. You tell me you don't know that there's people that feed at the feed trough a stupid every morning. They just slop up there and just belly up to the stupid bar and just get them a bucket load before they go out in the morning. Now, go to John, Gospel of John chapter 8. Let me show you this. Some of y'all look shocked. Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, and he says, "You are of your father, the devil." What? Come on. These are the religious people. These are the crowd that they're supposed to know the Bible forwards and backwards. You see what happens, churches? There's two veins of thought going on all the time. There's the godly way, and there's the devil's way. It's always happening. You know how we always have joked that there's two little guys sitting on each one of our shoulders. This one's telling us to do the right thing. This one's telling us to do the wrong thing, But there's a vein of thought out there that's evil. It's wrong. It's demonic. Okay, and I'll show you that in just a second. I'm just preaching the gospel here. And Jesus said to those Pharisees, the way they were acting and the way that they were trying to live their life and apply it to people, he said, "Look, what you're doing, you're listening to your father, the devil." If you go read, I believe it's Matthew 23, it talks all about the things he rebuked the Pharisees for. And he said, "Man, you'll go out there and you'll work and you'll get you a convert and then you'll make them twice the child of hell than you already are." And so he says, "Look, all you guys are doing, you're just pumping people full of pride. You're pumping people full of religious things and you're leading people astray. And what you're doing and that thinking and that direction you're sending people," he said, "that's of your father, the devil." He says, "He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. He is a liar and the father of lies." Okay, you don't believe me? Let's go to the book of James. Go to the book of James, chapter 1. I get the feeling some of y'all think I'm going crazy or something, but I'm not feeling the love this morning. But I'm going to keep preaching. I'm not going to back off. James chapter 1, verse 13. He says, let no one say that when I'm tempted by God, for God cannot tempt by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. He's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. He said, man, the enemy is out there trying to entice you to get out of God's way and God's plan and God's thoughts. He's trying to entice you over so that as minute you step over into his playing field, then he's got you in sin and sin's going to breed forth. It's going to bring death. How many times in life, listen to me, how many times in life have you been in a situation where inside of you said, okay, now hold on, don't let that make you mad. Don't let that make you mad. Just calm down, calm down. Take some deep breaths. Have y'all ever been in this situation? Huh? But there's this little something over here that's just like, that's just saying, I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they did that. And it's just poking you, just prodding you to just want to go, rah! Are y'all with me? Or do y'all just all saying that, oh, isn't that sweet? You're being enticed. You're being drawn in. Unforgiveness is like that. It's an offense that happens to you, and then it begins to draw. It's wanting to draw you in. It's using it. It's just like fishing, man. That old big treble hook's been launched out there, and he's just like saying, okay, come on, take the bait. Take the bait. Come on, take it. Because he's about to set the hook once you explode. As soon as you explode, man, whew, man, he's got you. Now he's just reeling you in because he's got you on the end of the line. You are mad. And have you ever noticed how once you give into that and you become angry about it, how then you just start, everything starts just tumbling down. And all of a sudden now you're not just mad at that situation. You're mad at anybody that looks like that situation or have ever acted like that situation. Now the next thing you know is, do you remember when? And then you've gone back 5 years, then 10 years, then 15 years. And then you're dragging up the marriage night. See, what's happened is you got hooked. And as the devil reels you in, then you're just starting to just, you're getting more entangled in his web, more, because he's enticed you. He's brought you in. Nobody, listen, to be enticed is not forced. It's lured. Right? So he entices you in, and then once he's got you and set it, then you're just getting yourself hooked more because you've just, man, I mean, you're just out of your head now. Now all of a sudden you're not making any sense. You've gone overboard. You're totally irrational. You, man, now you've gone into conspiracy theories and everything else in the world, and you've gathered it all up that, you know, you have been set up, but all you really did was just get started at the very first and get enticed a little bit. Man, he set the hook. Okay? He says, you've been enticed because, listen to me, the problem is you got enticed because you had a tendency towards that. Okay, like I'm never going to overeat licorice. I don't like it. You're not going to entice me with it. Right? I don't like it. So how can I be enticed with it? I hate to tell you, but what hooked you, you have a tendency to go that direction. See, some of you may be more aggressive, and so the devil, the lure he's going to use on you is going to be something that you would be attracted to, like to go into unforgiveness and to get angry and to go like this. But somebody else, you may not be that person, but you may turn around and go the other way, and the lure may be apathy or pride or jealousy. Or whatever. That's what he's going to use on you to get you snared, okay? Now, I'm talking about unforgiveness here this morning because I'm trying to show you how to use forgiveness as a powerful weapon to set you free from those hooks. Because what happens is the moment that you come to the understanding of what I'm getting ready to really throw down and preach here, when you come to the understanding, you pull forgiveness out, you're not snared anymore. You're not hooked anymore. You're free. And you can go swim wherever you want to swim. You can go do whatever you want to do because you're free, because they don't have you bound anymore. All right? Look, now let's look at another one here. Look at, still in the book of James, go over to chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy," look at this, "bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast or lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic." See, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying people are demon-possessed. I'm just saying people have a tendency to get into the things that are self-seeking, bitter, and bitterness and envy. And when you do that, then you're playing in the devil's field. You've gone over there to his lures, his baits. And it says right there that that is earthly, sensual, and it's demonic. I'm not saying they're demon-possessed. I'm just saying they're gone and fed at the feed trough of stupid. And so now they're over there, have a tendency towards that. And then what's going to happen to them is they're going to become demonic entities in your life. All right? "This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, then there's confusion, and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." You see, so there's two veins of wisdom coming. There's two veins of thought coming. There's the demonic, the sensual, the earthly. And then over here is the godly wisdom that is coming from God, that's peaceable and gentle and all this kind of stuff. You got to see the whole picture here. If you're going to use forgiveness as a weapon, you've got to be able to see the big picture of what really is going on. That what's happening to you is trying to get you snagged, lured, hooked, drug off, so that you'll be over here missing God and the blessings of God. Or you can use forgiveness as your weapon and say, "Oof, I'm not going to get tangled in that web." Walk in the power of forgiveness and then turn around and come over here and find peace, gentleness. I mean, you say, "Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Pastor. Wait a minute, Pastor. I mean, that's okay that all sounds good and it all sounds nice, but, you know, I really want to see justice." Well, you know what? I do too. I don't like rats getting away with anything. Hello? So that takes us to this place. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 30. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. In order to truly walk in the power of forgiveness, you have to come to the place that you trust in Jesus, that no one gets away with anything. And let him be the judge, and let him be the jury, and let him be the executioner. You have to have confidence in your heart that Jesus said he'd do what he said he'd do. Now let me ask you this scripture. How many of y'all in the, you great godly people in here this morning, you believe in Romans chapter 10 verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd be saved? Everybody believe that? Everybody going to go with that scripture? Huh? Okay, I thought you would, because that's a good one. You like it. Now what are we going to do with this one, where he says, "Vengeance is mine and I will repay," says the Lord. Verse 31 says, "And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Now, we're going to believe that one with the same amount of faith as we believe the scripture of getting saved, that God that nothing's going to get past him, that he is going to take care of everything, that justice will be served. You may not see it right now, but it will be served. It'll be served in his time, and that it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, and that when you use forgiveness, that you put it into his hands, and he's going to get it taken care of. You see, faith is involved in this. Because you're not going to ever feel like forgiving. You're not going to feel that way. But the revelation here is that by faith, you have to believe that nothing gets past our God. And that God's going to make sure that everything evens out. And God's going to make sure that everything works out exactly the way it's supposed to. And that ain't nobody going to miss the fearful hand of God. So it takes your faith in what the Word of God says to walk in forgiveness. Now I want y'all to understand something. Brother Ivan, he gives me a hard time about this because I used to have, until the Lord gave me a revelation here about forgiveness, I used to try to forgive people because I knew the Bible told me to forgive people. And that if I'd been forgiven, that I need to forgive. And I tried to walk in that. But I had to work it out. And I had this little method that I used. And he used to just laugh at me so much because it was like, I mean, y'all are going to just faint when you hear pastor's method for working this out. Until I got a revelation of this. You know, I would like, okay, I really want to just line them up against the wall and shoot them. And so then I would say, okay, Lord, I know that's not right. I know that's the wrong way to do it. I shouldn't have my own personal firing squad and do that, you know. And so, so I'm just going to like throw spears at them. It's less than shooting them. And then I'd work it down to, okay, well, just let them fall in a pit full of stinging scorpions. You know, I was lessening the punishment every time, trying to get to a place in my heart I could forgive this person, you know. Then it was like, okay, just let them get, had to be locked in a room with a bunch of wild cats that, you know, scratch them all up or something, you know. And I just would work this craziness in my head till I was less punishment, less severe, to try to work it to where I could finally say, okay, well, you know, just don't let me ever see them again. Right? Because when people hurt you, they've done just that. They have hurt you. They've wounded you. You're wounded in your soul. And that is a hard thing to overcome. And so that was what I was trying to do, was slowly work this out over a period of time, which actually it never worked. But I was trying to work with the Lord, saying, okay, you want me to forgive him? Oh, but I don't want to forgive him. I want him to burn right now. I was like the disciples when they went to the town that didn't receive Jesus. It was like, Lord, can we call fire down upon them? And he's like, no, man, I don't even know what spirit you're of. And I'm like, Lord, I know I should forgive, and I know I should walk in this, and I know that's what you tell me, but I don't feel like I want to forgive. I want to exact revenge upon them. Or if I'm not going to do it, then someone else, please do it. And so the Holy Spirit just kept showing me time after time after time that I was wrong in this thinking. Because it wasn't going to do anything, but it was catching me up emotionally. And I was being tied up in this thing emotionally. And all I was doing was every morning rehearsing again what had taken place. Refining the argument. You know, every morning, going over it again. Every morning, the first thing when I woke up, here was this offense before me that I had to deal with. And I'd go over and I'd say, yeah, I know, I've gone over this. I've looked over the case. I was being the judge. I've looked over the case. They're guilty. Obviously, they're guilty. They did this, 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 and this. Oh, yeah. And then they did that. I forgot about that one. Add that one to the deal, you know. And so I was going over this every morning. Okay, so this morning, Lord, I'm past just shooting them, you know, just put them in a pit with a lion. Okay, that's I'm in the lion stage now, you know. And I was trying to work this all out, but every morning I was rehearsing. Every morning I was wasting emotional energy upon this offense that had taken place, and it was tying me up, tying my time up, letting me be hoodwinked because I was snared by it. I was hooked by it. I had been enticed, gone into this anger, the hook had been set, and I didn't realize that it was the devil just playing with me. You know, I was doing the swimming out here, and he's just playing with me, slowly going to reel me in. And the one suffering was me. And the person that had done the offense, nothing was happening to them. Until the Lord showed me this one night in a dream. And that revelation changed my life. The revelation that this scripture is absolutely 100% true. That Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30 and 31 are going to come to pass. That vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. And the Lord will judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. When I realized and it came into my life that the revelation inside of my heart that, wait a minute, Jesus is going to set this right. That I need to get out of this emotional mess. I need to start living, not just existing. Folks, listen to me. A lot of people are just existing. We're not living. Because we're caught up in the emotional trauma of everything that's gone on. And I don't want to just exist. I want to live. And I got enough things in the day to deal with than having to drag out my list of everybody that I need executed that day. I know you godly people. Y'all don't do that. That's why I'm the pastor and I get to get up here and say these things to help people. But y'all don't really need it, I know, because y'all don't have those thoughts. But the truth of the matter is when you see the big picture, you're like, wait a minute, I don't want to be snared. I want to live my life. I want to be free. I don't want that person to hurt me again. And so all of a sudden, I start to see, wait a minute, I can pull forgiveness out and use it as the weapon to cut the string of the treble hook that's got me caught. I can cut the string and get away from this thing and be free because I have used it as an offensive weapon and forgiven. Now see, some of you say, well, I just don't know if I can do that. Listen, what good are you doing now anyway? What good is the unforgiveness doing you now anyway? How many of you have really ever done anything more than just dreamt about what you would do if you had the opportunity? But that opportunity isn't going to ever manifest itself. And if you do it, you're probably going to end up in prison the rest of your life. Hello? And unless you just feel really called to a prison ministry, I probably wouldn't do that. There was a man who's gone on to be with the Lord that came and preached in this church years and years ago. That was a friend of a friend of mine that had been in prison. And he was in prison for murder. And he got strung out on PCP and began to hallucinate. And he believed that the people out on the streets were aliens that had come to Earth to hurt people, and he ran out with a claw hammer onto the street and began to kill people, and he killed 5 people before they got him subdued, and I mean, pretty severe deal. And I used to laugh and joke with this friend of mine because I said, man, you know, at night, because they would stay in the same hotel room together, and I said, you don't ever worry about that guy, like maybe flipping out again, you know, and give him a hard time, just to sow a little seed of fear into him because I like to watch this guy squirm. But anyway, so the guy, you know, of course, after he came off the PCP and became, you know, was mortified in what he had done, but it was too late. He had already committed murder. And it, I don't know, I don't remember which state this was in. It was in Georgia or some state here in the United States, but some state. Anyway, and so he was sentenced to 5 life sentences in prison. And we got in prison, of course, you know, I mean, once he came to his senses, I mean, he really wasn't a bad guy. He was just a drug addict that flipped out. And so one day he gets a notice from the warden in prison that there's someone there to visit him. He said, well, I don't know who'd want to visit me. You know, there's nobody here that would visit me, you know. And so he goes into the visiting chamber, and it's the wife of one of the men that he had killed on the street. And she was a Christian. And so she came and she wanted to see him. And she said, you know, when he found out who it was, he said, I don't want to see her. The warden said, you're going to go see this lady. And so he went in there and he sat down, you know, across the little phone booth deal. And she said, I just wanted to come and see you today because I've just been praying. And I'm here to tell you that I forgive you for what you did. And he says, I know what you may be saying out of your mouth because you're a sweet lady, but I can never forgive myself for what I did. And she said, no, that's why I'm here to talk to you today. Because I want you to know that I forgive you and I do not hold you responsible. But I want you to forgive yourself because I really believe God wants to use you. And I'm here today to give you my husband's Bible. And so she gave him her husband's Bible. And he says, you need now to learn to forgive yourself. So the man, you know, he didn't know what to do. And he just freaked out. But he went back to his cell and he had this Bible, you know, the man that he'd killed. And so he began to turn the pages and look. And the guy had notes all in it and everything that he had written in there. And he began to feel, so, you know, the remorse for what he had done. And as he began to read the Bible, the Lord began to speak to him. He gave his heart to Jesus and got saved. And then he just began to just tell everybody in prison about it. And he really began to really bring revival into prisons. Every time he'd get changed into another unit, he'd just be preaching. He was just ravenous. And he literally, he's the only person I could ever say in life that I really believe preached himself to death, because this guy felt such a compassion that he had done such horrible things that he wanted to tell people about Jesus. And so he got to where, you know, everybody saw this guy was radically saved. And he would ask to be transferred to another prison because he'd already evangelized one whole prison. And they'd go to the next prison and send him over there. And they'd just say, okay, well, let's transfer him over there. And he'd just go through there and just, he was radical. And he had, what a powerful testimony, you know? And so he took this man's Bible that he had killed, learned the word of God, began to preach. And preached continually. He preached so long and so much that finally the governor of the state began to look and said, this guy is absolutely ravenous for Jesus. I've never seen conversion like this. The parole board looked over his hearing. They actually released him from prison. And that man spent every day of his life in prison, even though he was free, preaching to prisoners. All from the power of this one lady. Forgiven. You see, forgiveness is a powerful thing. When she released him, she was set free from unforgiveness, but so was he. Then God could deal with him. This man chose to fall in the hands of Almighty God and become his servant. And if somebody chooses to fall in the hands of Almighty God and not be his servant, then the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. That's what forgiveness does to you. It sets you free to do what God wants you to do and sets them free to let God deal with them. That's where you rejoice. That's where you take pleasure, because then you can sit back and you can say, God, I trust you. You're going to do it. Yeah, you lose control. You have to. I mean, that lady that day, she walked in there to give him that Bible. He could have spit in her face. She didn't know what she was going to find. He could have thrown that Bible back. He could have ripped it up in front of her. He could have just been whatever. But she trusted that when she forgave, that then God would move. What was interesting about this man is I knew him for really a short time, just a few years. And literally he preached and just evangelized prison after prison after prison. And then one night laid down and went to sleep and never woke up. And he was a younger man. And it always just seemed to me like, and I this is thus saith Robert, I don't know, but it just seemed like to me God gave him a window of opportunity. And then his time was up. And he went home to be with the Lord. He wasn't but about 55, I guess, when he went home to be with the Lord. But it was interesting. It was an interesting life. and to see the power of forgiveness. Folks, this is the way we got to live. It's the only thing that's going to bring about victory in your life. Now, if you have a hard time understanding this, then just remember what Matthew 6:14 says, that you were offensive to God and he forgave you. Okay? So, there's two things you got to deal with. Number one is forgiving the person that has offended you, but then the second thing is you got to forgive yourself. I look at it this way in forgiving myself. I've laughed, joked, told the Lord this before, but, you know, I said, Lord, you know, you made me out of dirt. What could you expect? I mean, you know, you could have made me out of gold, but you didn't. You made me out of dirt. Picked me up by the side of the river. I mean, you know, it wasn't even a special place. Just got some old muddy dirt by the side of the river. Hog could have wallered in it. You know, I don't know. But you got to forgive yourself. Folks, listen to me. We all make mistakes. There's nothing to do but receive the forgiveness for yourself that God offers you. Let the Spirit of God heal your own heart. And then forgive that person that's offended you so that you can get out of that hook. And don't let it keep snagging you and snaring you. And you're going to do that by believing that God is going to do what God's going to do. And that no one gets away with anything. Amen? Amen. Well, church, put your Bibles up and stand to your feet, please. Can I have my prayer team come down, please? I want to pray for you. But I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today and you know, if you're not, if this message has kind of hit you square between the eyes, then I want to challenge you to come down and just pray with one of our prayer team people. Just let God cover that. Begin to minister to you. Folks, get out of the hooks. Get out of the snares. Let the Holy Spirit come in your life and set you free so, man, you can just be free. Don't live in that bondage of unforgiveness. So I want to pray for you. Okay? So I'm just going to pray generally over every one of you, but then we're down here to pray with you specifically. So Father, I just come before you right now in Jesus' name, and I just thank you that as this word has gone out this morning, and it's gone into the hearts of the people, that Lord, those that are hooked by unforgiveness, that the devil has used to drill them in and emotionally entangle them. I pray this morning, Lord, that they can have the wisdom and the revelation to use the power of forgiveness. And Lord, cut that tie. That they can see that, Lord, they can trust in you, that you will judge and you will bring it to pass. And that they can be freed. And that, Lord, you're going to take care of it. Lord, I just declare today that those that are wrestling with forgiving themselves of the mistakes that we've made, that, Lord, that they can see today that you love us so much, that you gave your only son for us. And that revelation can come of how much you love us. And, Lord, they can forgive themselves the same way. And break that tie in their lives. That we can walk in that peaceable, gentle spirit of God. So Lord, I thank you for it right now. Holy Spirit, I thank you for just moving upon each and every heart right now. For those that are listening by audio, those that are watching by video, that Lord, this message will impact them and their lives will be forever changed. That there will be victory, there will be liberty, there will be rejoicing, because no longer are we bound in unforgiveness, but we're walking in the power of forgiveness. So Lord, we praise you for it today. We thank you for it today. And you remember that no matter where we are, no matter what we've done, that Jesus loves you. He gave his life for you. If you call out upon the name of Jesus, you will be saved. Amen and amen. Now, church, listen to me. We're here to pray for you. I need you to go out there in the world this week and tell everybody how much Jesus loves them. I need you this week to go out across every person you see and say, man, serving Jesus is so good. You need to be helping people this week, blessing people this week, smiling, saying, man, it's good to be alive. Amen? Amen. So go get them. Tell them all about Jesus. And we're here up front if you need prayer. So God bless you, and I'll see you next week.